everybody. Want to welcome you to the Gina and Eva show. And I have the pleasure today of introducing Jack Canfield.
Jack Canfield, I'm telling you, if you're listening to us, you know this man. He is the founder and co-creator of the best-selling Chicken Soup for the Soul series. I think you've got about over 70 titles and over 85 million copies now in print. Is that right, Jack?
That's right. 73 books, 85 million copies.
Oh, and over 37 languages. Your latest book that we're talking about today is called The Power of Focus, How to Hit Your Business, Personal, and Financial Targets with Absolute Certainty. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. My pleasure. But here's the first thing you have to understand. 90% of our behavior is habit.
Right.
90%. Think about this, Gina and Eva, and all the listeners out there. Most of us live in towns where there's anywhere from 100 to 500 restaurants. If you live in San Francisco, it's probably 1,000 restaurants. And yet we'll eat in the same 5 to 10 restaurants almost every time we go out. It's a habit. We'll wear 80% of our clothes 20% of the time.
That's
we have
true.
The same habits. When we walk into our office, we go, we turn the lights on, we sit here, we do that. We have all these little rituals we do that probably don't produce any results. And you've all heard the 80-20 rule, which says 20% of our behavior produces 80% of our results. So what we have to do is two things. We have to identify what are the habits that are good that we want to keep and what are the habits that we want to get rid of. And there's two ways to do this. Number one, success leaves clues. So we have gone and put in the book all the kinds of habits that people, in fact, want to have, and then we've also listed a lot of the habits that we've discovered that when you have them, they don't work. And we go into everything from health right down to manifesting, you know, million-dollar-a-year incomes. I'll give you a couple of examples. People that are super successful read for a minimum of an hour to 2 hours a day. The average American, again, watching 6 hours of TV a day, or 3 hours if they're like me and you, or 1 hour if they're like, you know, the successful people. Basically, if you cut out 1 hour of TV a day, that's 365 additional hours a year. Right there, you've just gained 9.5 work weeks.
Wow.
And what we know is that success is the result of lots of little increments, not the big chunks that everyone says, well, I don't have time to write a book. Well, can you find an extra 30 minutes a day? In 30 minutes, you can write 250 words. If you write 250 words a day, in a year, you have a book. If you cut out one Coke a day, that's 150 calories less you'll eat. In 11 days, that's the equivalent of a day's worth of food, about a 2,000-calorie intake. That means it's like you're fasting once every 2 weeks. That would be 26 days of fasting a year. That would lose you a lot of weight. The average American, I just read the other day, only about 3% of Americans exercise 3 times a week for 20 minutes or more. That puts you in the top 3%. If you exercise for a half hour, 5 days a week, it puts you in the top 0.1%. So it's not like you have to go out and join the gym and work out 4 hours a day and have. It's little things like that. Some of the other habits that successful people have, they associate with other successful people. They get out of their home and they put themselves in the game. As my friend Marshall Thurber, who's a success coach of mine, says, if you want to make money, you have to go where people with money are. You have to play a game where money is made. You're not going to get rich being an elementary school teacher. No one can do that. So you have to decide, what is it I want, who's already done it, and how do I get into communication with those people? So if what you want is to be a successful coach, then I'd want to hang out with people like you because you're successful coaches, and I'd want to find out what do you do, what do you read, what do you eat, what associations do you belong to, what conferences do you go to, what tapes do you listen to, who are your teachers, how do I get in touch with them. We go back to that principle again that success leaves clues. It's like a blueprint, what Tony Robbins calls a connect the dots game.
Hmm.
And all I have to do is find out what those dots are, and those dots are in books, tapes, seminars, coaching, etc. One of my friends is Brian Tracy, who I'm sure you guys know, and he teaches something called the law of probabilities, which says the more things you try, the more likely something will work. So the more books I read, and I read a book a day, so that's 365 books a year. I read from 6:30 to 8:30 every morning, and I can usually pound out a book in that time. And the more books I read, the more likely I'm going to find something that will change my life. The more seminars I go to, the more likely something's going to happen that will change my life or make me $1 million. The more conferences I go to, the more likely I'm going to meet people that can forward my goals or learn a new technique I can use. The more you listen to the Eva and Gina show, you're going to have different speakers, the more likely I'm going to hear something that's going to affect my life. And the more things I try, like we are now literally in an effort this year to double my speaking business and double my back-of-the-room sales when I sell tapes and programs like that. And I've gone now and tried about 10 different things. Some of them have worked, some of them haven't. I'm taking classes, I'm buying tapes, I'm talking to people who are successful, saying, coach me, how do I do what you do? I met a guy the other day who literally sells a speaking class. You go for 4 days to his seminar. He sells it for $20,000. And when he presented it in Bob Allen's seminar last week, 40 people signed up. That's an $800,000 sale for a one-hour sales pitch. Now, he's got something to teach all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to get into the sphere of influence of those people who can be our teachers. And then another technique is ask, 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 ask. Most of us are so afraid that people won't answer our questions, we don't ask. But if we ask, how do you do that? Will you tell me? Will you mentor me? Will you show me? You'd be surprised how much people will give away of what they know, because they know most people won't even do it. And so they're not afraid to give you the information. Most people think that people are going to hoard their information. It's not true. The really successful people give it away. They give it away so generously and so fully that people go, oh, my God, if he gave that away for free, imagine what he'd give me if I paid him.
Hmm.
Those are some of the beginning ideas. I maybe will pause for a second, take a deep breath.
Yeah, I have a question about habit. Okay, dare I even say how hard it is sometimes to change them, to break them.
Well, the first thing is to identify the ones you want to change. And what we teach in the book is if you ask your friends, your family, your partner, like each other for you, people that work for you and people you work for, to give you feedback about what they see as your most self-destructive habits, you'd be surprised how many people would be willing to tell you. Then you look for patterns. Once you've decided what it is you want to change, and again, I say we list a whole bunch of them in the book, like not drinking enough water, not exercising, watching too much television, not getting enough sleep, etc. Then what happens is, once you know what that is, you want to put in a new habit to replace it. And remember, you cannot get rid of an old habit unless you replace it with
right.
a new habit. It's called the law of the vacuum. It will suck the old habit back in. Then what you do is you have to list down three distinct disadvantages that are going to happen if you continue this habit the rest of your life.
Well,
if I don't drink water, I'm going to die of either gallstones, because that's how they form, not enough water to pass out, you know, as a liquid, or I'm going to be dehydrated such that I could, you know, it increases about 60 diseases now that are related to dehydration. So I can list all of that kind of stuff. And then I go over and I say, what would be the advantage of drinking more water? Well, I have more energy, I feel better, I lose weight, you know, you can go right down there. What's the advantage of reading a book every day? If I don't read every day and I watch TV, a year from now, I'm going to know a whole lot about Survivor, and I'll be able to answer trivia questions at a party, but I won't have any more money. I won't know anymore. We're in the age of information where most people are on the Internet studying and reading and so forth every day. I'm going to be in big trouble. What if I do read every day? Well, I'll have more information. I'll be intelligent. I can charge more. I can be a more successful consultant, etc. So once I know what the disadvantages and advantages are, that begins to build up my motivation. Then I set down three specific ways that I can support myself in this new habit. Let's take drinking water again. I can put a gallon of water on my desk, or I can buy one of these big bottles, you know, these 2-liter bottles of water, and put it on my desk and make a commitment that I'll drink it every day. I won't leave the office until I have it drunk. I can have a system where my secretary comes in every hour and gives me a glass of water. I can put drink water as my screensaver. So now I've got three ways to support myself. And I can also give myself a penalty for not drinking the water. If I get to the end of the day and I drink all the water, I'm going to write a check for $100 to Eva and Gina. Well, as much as I love you guys, I don't want to do that. See? But if I declare that as a public thing, you might be calling me at 6 going, hey, do we get a check today? And it reminded me, no, I'm drinking my water right now.
By the way, in partnering, I know this is an issue for people. I wonder if you experience having to get some of your ego out of the way, because some people really want to be the star. They want it to be their own, which makes it incredibly hard to partner.
Totally. But if you look at the purpose of everything in life is to learn and grow wisdom and to learn how to love more completely. See, don't get hung up on the purpose of life is to get rich, or the purpose of life is to be effective. The purpose of life is to learn. And, you know, you can go to all the research on near-death experiences and reincarnation, people that have been there and come back again, and they'll tell you that what they got real clear about was the purpose of life was to expand their capacity to love and gaining wisdom and mastery. And so if that's true, partnering up accelerates showing up where all the places are that I'm stuck. I always say if you want to have a fast track to spiritual growth, get married, have children, start your own business, and if you do that, be in a partnership with somebody. Because everything that's not clear about you is going to come up instantly. And that's called a blessing. Get excited about it and say, yay, look what I get to deal with now.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Exactly.
I constantly remind myself when there's some contrast in my life, is, you know what? Thank you for this opportunity, because it's another opportunity for me to do a program interrupt and get more expansive from this.
Exactly. And the idea is not to get egoless so you can be in a partnership. Get into a partnership and let it just show up where your ego is, and then work with a coach or a process like the Sedona Method or the Loving What Is work by Byron Katie. And then use that to release it so you can keep moving on. If you just are a recluse living on a mountaintop somewhere, not a lot of stuff's going to show up to handle. So literally being in the world is a faster track to spiritual growth in my mind.
I'll tell you what, I know that I was single for about a year and a half. I hadn't been in a relationship, but I worked on my relationship while I was single, and I thought, I have got it together now. I am ready for a relationship. What a big lie that was. How can you work through a relationship unless you're in one? Because you don't, you think you've got to handle, because there's no buttons being pushed. It takes the buttons being pushed to go like, oh, this is how I practice.
Exactly. Exactly.
How do you know that you're ready for a business? How do you know you're ready for success unless you're in it and coming up against it and learning and having crashes and bumping up and going like, oh, I don't want that now. I want this.
Well, I tell people, you know you're ready for something if you want it. So if you want it, you're ready. Now, being ready doesn't mean you're going to do it perfectly the first time, but it means you're ready to get in the arena and play the game.
Oh, that's such a great distinction. I hear so many people waiting to get this or that together before they are, you know, ready to start this new thing, whether it's a relationship or business or project or kids or whatever.
No, and I know people like that, and they're still single. And my point of view is just get into relationship with whoever shows up in your life. Quit looking for the perfect person. Quit trying to be the perfect person. And just allow yourself to be with what is in your life as it shows up. And you will learn relationship in that process. And at some point you'll go, gee, I'd rather not go home. I'd rather spend the day with you. And pretty soon you go, I don't ever want to go home. I want to spend the rest of my life with you.
That's great.
I see all these people with, you know, they come out of these manifestation workshops with their checklists of the 49 qualities of the perfect person. And they meet some really cool person, and one of the qualities is there, and they drop them, and they go on to the next person. And they never learn that nobody's going to come with everything you want. And truly, what we're looking for is that thing in us anyway. And so it's just a matter of, like, lightening up and having more fun with the whole process.
Lighten up, people!